When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Up to 90. As usual, we've been chatting for about 65 minutes before we started to press, before we press record. From now on, we just need to press record the second one of us says hello.
I know, I nearly suggested it, but I just didn't get a chance.
Because there's no difference between, it's just like there's no delineation. It just bleeds into one another. Podcast talk, non-podcast talk.
I know, ah well.
Up to 90 with Emma and Julie.
Babes,
I'm good. I'm loving the WhatsApp group.
Oh my god, no, sorry, this is not a plug. Legitimately, no. Loving the WhatsApp group, because you know the way it's just you join a WhatsApp group and it's automatically mute. You might dip in every now and again, but the quality. So we have somebody listening to the podcast who could potentially have had children with Michael Bublé.
Yeah,
real possibility. Another one having an orgy with all the members of the Coronas.
Yeah.
It's just chef's kiss WhatsApp group. It's unbelievable. It is chef's kiss.
Yeah. Snow Patrol made an appearance as well.
Now, I missed that bit because I know you've missed my WhatsApp audios, but I've been without a phone for a couple of days, but I finally got sorted with the new phone, so I'm delighted. So I missed that bit about the Snow Patrol.
Oh, I'll take some screenshots and send them on to you.
Okay.
But
honestly, the WhatsApp group is just, guys and gals, you're absolutely bringing it. It's just quality entertainment.
And who brought it? I think, was it Louise that brought it to our attention about the Shane Ritchie story?
Oh my God, Louise's message was so funny about Shane riding the ones in Butlins about six women. And I was like, this cannot be. But then I looked it up and Louise, you were right on the money. Now, first of all, Shane Ritchie, is he the same man as Danny Dyer? Have we ever seen them in the same room at the same time? I just think, is it just me, Emma, or is Shane Ritchie and Danny Dyer, like, are they just interchangeable?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, hang on, we have to just start at the start of this story about the orgy with the six women when he was a teenager in Butlins. It said in the article that it's now come to light. And I'm like reading, and it's come to light because Shane himself wrote about it in his book.
Has said it.
And we've only delved into the book now because he's on I'm a Celeb.
None of us bothered to read the book until we heard he was on I'm a Celeb. And then we're like, okay, now we finally discovered this purely because nobody had read the book previous. But yeah, hilarious. Did you read it? It was so, so funny. He talked about how he was in El Blue Coat when he was 16. And then he went off, he met these six girls and they called themselves the Sexy Six. And they were from, do you want to take a guess what part of England?
It's got sex in it. Middlesex.
Oh, good guess, but no, Essex.
Okay.
When you think about it, yeah. So they called themselves the Sexy Six and they were all blonde. Now, does this sound like a real story to you? Recalling his orgy, Shane said, one week in July, a group of six girls came down from Chelmsford. They called themselves the Sexy Six and they were all blonde. So straight away, I'm like, this story does not have the ring of truth. Okay, but anyway, they invited me to a club. I said I'd bring some mates along, but they told me I should come on my own.
It's
Do you think it happened, Emma?
I think what happened was he at most had a quick smooch, a stolen kiss, if you will, off some girl from Essex with ash blonde hair. That's what I think happened. And she was probably about 15 years his senior, you know, had recently split up with the fella, had a one too many sherries and said, Jesus, I was wearing the face off that young fella last night. Fucking hell. And laughed about it. Do you know what I mean? Wasn't too hard in herself.
Oh,
Jesus. You know.
It's like, when you go in the girls' hall.
Yeah, because she said something to him, like, which she had no plans of carrying through. She said something to him like, geez, I'd love to take you back only for all the girls are there. That's what she said. And she had no intention of doing that, but it was just something funny and flirty to say when she was hammered. The reality was she just wanted to go back and have a packet of crisps and a bit of toast with the girls.
Like the rest of us.
Get that back.
Yeah, get that batch loaf, an ironing board, and a bottle of warm Sauvignon Blanc and just go back and say, oh my God, girls, that child in the blue coat, you know, the one who was there with the blue coat, I shifted him.
But the fact that everyone's going to choke. He couldn't even say six.
It had to be the sexiest number. Six. Sexy six. No, I do think, I definitely made it up
on the spot. Like, who, what six women do you know? Say in your early 20s, you and five of your mates who all have the same hair colour go on holidays to Butlins and have an orgy with a teenager, with one teenager.
No. I mean, no, come on, sorry. Well, first of all, it would never happen. We've all read the Daily. Does anyone want to be that Daily Mail woman? I mean, seriously, I totally agree. I think definitely just one woman with kind of ash blonde hair, like maybe, you know, there might have been an old kind of beat the snapper situation, who knows? And for Shane, things got skewed. I really don't think the orgy happened. I do think as well, the story sounds very not thought through. I don't think he wrote this paragraph with a view to people later dissecting it on a formerly 90s podcast. So if we're really going to dissect it, I do feel the ghostwriter was like, Shane, I've got 10 minutes. And he's on the phone. He's like, okay, what about this? One time when I was 16, there was this group, they're called the Sexy Six. And they brought me back to the room. And
Where were they from?
Essex. And then hilariously, I had to laugh. He says, because this is another bit of the extract. He says that at the club, they offered him a tab. He's using the word tab. Clearly, this man is for real here. He's legit. They offered him a tab of what he says he presumed was speed. Shane knew it was supposed to make you have more energy and make you high, but it just made him extremely randy. He went with the women to their holiday chalet and things got saucy. He said he ended up in a room alone with one girl he had his eye on all night. And then he goes on to say that basically, between the long and the short, but pardon the pun, he said that, what was it? He was passed around from girl to girl and he described it as being like an X-rated tag match. The following morning, he said he felt used and abused, but they had all had a fantastic night. The cheeky actor also talks about moonlighting as a gigolo for £20. Emma, what's that about?
I'm sorry, but like, still getting referred to as cheeky chappy. Is he not in his 50s at this stage?
I know. Well, I presume he was younger. So look, and by the way, we'll not judge him at all for being an out gigolo, even though I do think it's such a silly word. It really is. But look, you know, that's another story. So yeah, he acted, so he was a gigolo, moonlighted as a gigolo for £20. His week's wages with wealthy women in their 50s. Wow. I do, no, I definitely just want to come back to what I said initially, which was, Danny Dyer and Shane Ritchie, have we ever seen them in the same room?
Well, did Danny Dyer do a Dad's Doorstep Challenge?
Did he?
I don't know. Did he? I know Shane obviously did a few.
Oh, of course. Shane did it.
I quite like Shane Ritchie. Like, I like him to the extent I'd be happy enough to have a car free with them. You know, like in a car free... there's something to do through the whole process. I don't know how I'd feel about sitting down and ordering a meal with them, but I'd be quite happy to get in the queue, move through the queue, you know, mid-sentence. Can I get mash and roast peas? You know what I mean? That's all cool.
You both reach for the lemon meringue. You have a giggle. Slide along the tray. The Carvery chef is like, sorry, Shane, would you mind just moving your tray down? He's like, oh, sorry, mate.
And imagine,
it'd be all that kind of thing.
Imagine you're in the queue and you can see women wanting to get selfies.
Oh, well, the sexy six would definitely be. Yeah. Oh, I'll give you some sexy six.
You'd have to take the picture and, sorry, do you mind if, could I, of course, my darling, of course. Of course, my darling. What's your name, sweetheart? What's your name? Oh, Maria.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a whack of Keith. And I mean this in the best possible sense. Yeah. There is a whack of Keith Duffy of Shane Ritchie. Like, he'd definitely have no problem with, like, the ladies now doing an old cheeky grab. Oh, hello. Like, a bit of, you know, he really wouldn't, you know, he'd be like, oh, you're sprightly, ain't ya? How old are you, 82? Nah. You're not a day older, 50. That kind of thing, like, just very...
Oh, yeah, is this...
your sister, she's your mum?
Yeah.
No, and speaking of which, apparently in the autobiography as well, he said that he once... Wait for this. Mm. He's also claiming that he once did the naughty with a mum and a daughter. He met them at a bingo.
No, it's the people that say this are just complete fantasists. Aren't they?
No. I'm telling you, the ghostwriter was like, Shane, okay, we've got two chapters to write. I'm using the biggest font that I can. I've already included about 17 pages for this chapter alone, pictures of yourself and Colleen. We've done the Alfie Moon stuff. Okay, we've got a couple of chapters on Daz. I need something more. And he's like, okay, what about this? I once had sex with a mother and a daughter. Like, it's definitely, that was the writing process there for sure. And you know at the Carvery, when he gets extra, when Alfie Moon asks for extra gravy and this poor old Carvery chef, there's this bit of splashback onto the whites and he says, I've got just the thing for that. You know what would happen, Emma. And he whips out a box of Daz. Like, you just know it. Colleen is going to be absolutely stone broke from voting for Liz McDonald. Honestly, no, she's just going to vote for anyone, ABS, anyone but Shane.
I like Liz, but I think it's a bit like me and you. It's like any good double act. Liz needs Jem, doesn't she?
Jem. Well, look, I think we were.
A lot of that. I think who's going to shout that at her?
All I can remember from the 90s, well, I'd say one of five things, but one of them was definitely Jim just shouting after Liz as she crawled away from him. That was just that was their central storyline. Like, Liz was just like constantly crawling. And obviously, you know, a very serious storyline and all the rest, but I can just remember the patriotism in my house, like everyone just mortally offended that the drunk domestic abuser was the only Irish man in the show.
I know. And then we were just kind of like, oh, he's from Northern Ireland. It's fine. He's from Northern Ireland.
But you remember, and then you're like, but he was obviously a prod because he was in the army. Look, it's grand. None of us need to have a look at our own behaviours. And, you know, definitely nobody in this house has a problem with alcohol. It's fine.
But he wore that jacket, that brown leather jacket that was like a couch.
Oh my God. It just looked like it was covered in food stains.
For the 15 years. But Jim McDonald was a great actor. And what he really had that a lot of other people in the business don't have is he had the shoulders. Because when he was shouting a lot about, he wasn't just shouting her name. He was throwing his shoulders into it. Do you remember them shoulders?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's a Nordy thing because Liam Neeson has great shoulders as well. I know since cancelled, but look, he does have great shoulders for sure. I mean, I do think with Liz, like ultimately, I just think if you have to divorce a man twice, like you need to look at your own behaviours here. I don't think it's fair we put it all on Jim.
Judy, I've completely cracked it. So do you know the way you often hear people kind of like they'll make a joke about Fair City or soap actors or whatever, and obviously little pavos like us are like, excuse me, I'd love to get a gig on any of those shows. I know now how we can become soap stars and get ourselves on one of these shows. We just have to keep shouting the name of our friend or our significant other. That's all they did. If you think of Deirdre, can. And then Liz,
the neck, Jim, oh my God, and her neck pulls.
That's all they did. All they did was just shout people's names. That's all you've got to do.
Yeah, I think Coronation Street is ultimately the reason why we all ended up going for the men who were just perpetually emotionally unavailable. Because for us, all we had grown up with was like, okay, how do you communicate with your partner? You just keep shouting his name over and over again.
I'm going to put together a show reel of me just shouting different names and being more dramatic as the thing goes on. And I swear I'm going to be on Fair City in the new year.
Oh, it's going to, listen, how have neither of us ever been asked to go on Fair City? How, like, sorry, but we're the obvious choice.
I know. What would your character be?
Well, I mean, you know me. I think we have discussed this maybe. Did we discuss it on an extra episode where I was saying that I would definitely be the emotional wreck mother who is just trying to do the best for my kids. And you would be that kind of just ever so slightly a flourishy barmaid, but you'd kind of cross the line. So I'd be there with my fella. Be like, look, I'm just really worried about Sophie because I just think her reading should be better. Like, she's in senior infants now. And then you come over and say to my fella, oh, is it younger looking you're getting? And then he'd laugh and you'd laugh. And then you take her order, 2 coffees, please. And then you walk away and I say, was that necessary? And then he says, well, what? Can I not talk to women anymore? And then he'd grab his jacket and storm off. And then the camera would end on your face, just giving a cheeky smile.
Mm. And I'd love to do that. You know, that kissing that they do on soaps, but they're actually not kissing. They're just holding each other's faces and they have their mouths open and they're just doing a lot of weird breathing and moving their heads. You know, when they all do all that.
Yeah, you'd be great at that. Because you don't like touching.
No,
so it would be.
No,
it's your dream.
Yeah, no, their lips must never touch. But there's just a lot of like putting fingers in hair and holding faces and a lot of that and biting lips.
Yeah.
I think I'd be really good at that.
Well, a lot of quivering. I think there's always a lot of quivering.
And then we could have a scene with you when you finally find out about it.
Well, what I'd love, though, prior to me finding you in a quivering embrace with the love of my life, what I'd love is that moment of, you know, like that moment of naivety that comes with the character whereby, so like, obviously, you know, we know what's coming, like the affair is reaching a crescendo. And, you know, I say to my mate, you know, I call my friend around, we're having a cup of tea in the sitting room. I say, no, I really feel you've turned the corner. Like, things were bad, but I just think now it's made us stronger than ever. I don't know what was bothering him. He was just working a lot. He was under so much pressure from his boss, but I just think we've turned a corner. Like, if we can get through that period, we can get through anything. And then that's going to be the start of the episode. Then we're going to have the quivering embrace and me with my furrowed brow. And then, as you say, like, me just going to, do you know what I would actually be doing? I would be going with the photos that I printed off to the equivalent of Tiger to get a cheap frame to put the picture of the family photo in the frame, just as a surprise from Sophie for Daddy. So I've got, you know, I've got Sophie's handmade card, you know, I love you, Daddy, in one hand, and I'm clutching the picture in the other. I'm just on my way to Tiger and I'm smiling for no reason. They're always smiling for no reason. And then I round a corner and there you are. And I just turn because God forbid you see me, and I slide down that wall. And then the final shot is just the photo in the puddle and I love you, Daddy, just floating away.
And I don't know how you feel about this, but would it be possible for you to have, like, you'll be fine, but would it be possible for you to have an overdose and your daughter Sophie to have an English accent for some reason? And she's
an English accent. You're really testing me now. I know this series is set in Manchester, but this is just...
And she phones somebody and she's like, Mama's not waking up. Mama's not waking up. Mama's asleep. And it's me, the slush.
Oh, comes. Jesus. Oh my God. It's Auntie Emma.
Auntie Emma.
Why'd you do it? Julie, no. What about Sophie?
It's probably going to be on that.
Well, that'd be a nice twist, having you in the ambulance with me.
And so I want Sophie
and then you'd be like,
to be
about, sorry, Julia, loving.
Yeah, I want Sophie to be like about 11, but they're getting her to play a much younger child. You know, that kind of way.
I know. I was going to say Sophie's hit puberty, and she's like, "Look what I coloured in for you." You're like, "What?"
No wonder
mummy was. No wonder. And then of course the fellow will be like, I can't help how I feel. And then you're just, and then cut to you just smiling in the corner. But all this, obviously it goes without saying, all this would happen at Christmas.
Obviously.
You know, I mean, it would have to be Christmas morning and Sophie's waiting for the Santa gift. All of that.
Oh, well, I'm glad we've workshopped this anyway.
I know. If somebody doesn't take us up on this, bigger fool you. Actually, speaking of England, I got a message from Uber today and I was like, give it up. Who's traveling anywhere? Come on. But anyway, so they messaged me and it did get me thinking about my last taxi experience in Dublin, which was, of course, back in February. And I did have a bit of a giggle. I'm sure this has happened to listeners as well. But I got out of the taxi and like the taxi was, say, 18. It was something like 17, 18 euro. And I gave 20 euro and I was like, thanks so much. Keep the change. And your man was like, no, that's ridiculous. Just please, no, this is ridiculous. So we kind of did that real Irish thing of, no, that's too much. And you're like, it's not too much, just keep it. Honestly, I know what I'm doing. A tip's a tip, you've earned it, blah, blah, blah. It was only when I got out of the taxi, it's like, oh, I ordered this on Halo. So I prepaid for it. So he was like, there's no need for a 20 euro tip. And I was like, please, God. I insist.
Money bags.
Money, 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 baby. I know. And then it's gas when it comes to that at tax time of year. And you're like, where did my money go? And then you're like, oh, because I keep forgetting I've prepaid. So I keep just giving taxi drivers 20 euro tips each time. I'm sure it's happened to other people.
I mean, I know I know we say it for a lot of things, but that is classic Judy.
It is just a classic like Judy moment.
Money burning a hole in your pocket. Imagine you got pregnant straight away.
Oh, do you know what, Ted? But given my egg count, Ted was such a, like, against the odds kind of a thing. I don't know. I think Ted's going to be your only one.
What are you basing this egg count on?
I'm basing it on actual medical evidence. Sure, I was doing I did the old egg count last year. Do you remember when I went to the gynecologist, went back to the GP, shout out to my GP, did the old egg count. We were all involved. The nurse took my blood and whatever. You know the way they can tell, obviously, what your egg count is based on taking your bloods and testing at different times of the month. And this was the same nurse, of course, when I did my smear test. She had inserted the, what do you call that contraption thing that they put up you for a smear test?
I want to call it a platypus.
Furry friend.
It's called something.
It's like an umbrella. It's like they put an umbrella up and then decide to open it. I mean, that's essentially what it is.
I feel like it is called something close to platypus.
I'm going to look it up. Oh, yeah. If somebody has looked for this before, instrument used in smear test. A speculum. Look, you were right on the money, Emma. You're right. That does sound like platypus.
Thank you.
When she had the speculum inserted, and obviously they tell you to relax, and you're like, it's a bit hard because there's a platypus up my vagina. But she had the speculum up there, and then she copped my surname. She's like, wait a minute, are you Johnny's daughter? And then started to talk to me about how lovely my dad was. And then it turned out that she loved potatoes, so dad brought her potatoes and all these kind of in-jokes. The last person I want to talk about during a smear test is my father. But no, it was the same nurse involved. So look, I did, but sure, I'm hardly going to have a high egg count. Like, I got my period when I was 9. I'm nearly 37. I've been saying that for 4 years, but it's finally true now. I am nearly 37.
Yeah, but
so of course it's not going to be high.
It's not going to be high, but you've an average amount for a woman of your age.
See, I never know. Like, is that the case? I always thought that, like, if you had your period younger, you've even less. I thought it was your menstruating years that they count rather than your chronological age. I think that's it.
But it just depends. I mean, some people, it depends on the person. It's usually the best way to judge it is your genes, like, you know. How long?
Well, I tell you this much. If anyone listening to this has been told recently that they have a low egg count, do you know what? It doesn't matter a damn, because so many friends of mine have been told they have a really high egg count. Others have been told they have a really low egg count. And just, I think you get there in the end, regardless. And honestly, I kind of think sometimes a very good friend of mine said when I was going to get all this stuff checked out, and I know it reaches a point that you do want to get this checked out and you want to be informed. But she did make the point that sometimes I think information can kind of nearly bog you down a bit, that you get caught up in the facts.
Yeah, I know
you'll
what you
get
mean.
There. You'll get there in the end. You know, you can drive yourself mad with the numbers, but you will get there in the end. Now, in saying that, Fred would like everyone to believe that, like, he brushed up beside me on the bus and suddenly I was pregnant. And Garrow did make that point, Garrow Farley, when we were chatting to him the last week, and we were talking about it. But, I mean, yeah, sure, we were trying for a while. I did discuss that on the up to 90, but we got there. So I don't know, will there be another 10?
You were trying for a reasonable length of time for somebody who'd been on contraception for probably 15 years.
Yeah, you see, this is it. When you're in second year in school and the doctor's like, do you want something to stop your spots? You're like, yes, please. You're not really thinking about, like, fertility and how this might affect me, etc. But, like, sure, I've been on the pill for so long at that stage.
I think it probably felt long because I think you probably decided by the third date. You were like, yeah, I'll have this lad's baby.
Listen, third date, forget it. I did a gig with Fred, okay? And shout out to Grove Farley. I did a gig with him in Knoll, and I had decided by the time he'd driven me to my own car, which was on the other side, like basically the other side of the road. At that point, I was like, he'd be a good man to have a baby with.
I remember.
I started trying then.
I know. You see, that's it. You were trying before his sperm was anywhere near you. And that's going to make it harder. Like, that's going to make the trying to have a baby harder.
I do think if you're trying to get pregnant, step one is to actually get, first of all, you need him to text you back. Then you need to get him alone in a room. And it's all incremental. Like, that's when the trying really happens, at that very start. But sure, even I think like a couple of weeks after, it was Easter and people were asking, how are you getting on with Fred, blah, blah. I was like, we're trying to get pregnant. He was completely unaware.
That was the first thing I said to you. I said to you, does Fred know? Like, I said that to you.
Well, sure, like, he doesn't have to know everything. I mean, look, did you not hear what I said about being bogged down with information? Like, sometimes information is a hindrance. Like, maybe he didn't want to be informed. Maybe I was just protecting him from information.
I vividly remember us meeting up in Head Stuff to do an episode, and you were like, kind of, oh, you know, so much going on or whatever. And then you were like, me and Fred, I think we're trying to get pregnant. And I was like, does Fred know? But I said it to you like real seriously. And you were like, yeah, well, I mean, you know, we kind
of.
We kind of talked about it a bit. I think the conclusion was you'd gotten out of him that he would like to be a dad someday. So you were kind of like, grey light. Yeah.
Well, I think it wasn't even that. I think he'd mentioned something about having a nephew. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, okay, sorry. I can read between the lines here. And we're trying to get pregnant. I get it. It's kind of like when people ask, you know, was this pregnancy planned? And I'm like, yeah, by me. Like, of course. Like, this was definitely a planned pregnancy, just so you know.
Just the last piece of the puzzle was Fred, wasn't it?
But it's funny because, to be honest, he, like, the fact that, like, I'll send you a photo actually right now. Ted is the head of Fred. It's actually terrifying. I didn't realise this until he's starting, the ginger hair has just started to kick in. And and he's given me the same look as Fred. Like, do you know when I lose the plot and I'm just like weeping and like sliding down a wall and just clutching a photo? And every now and again, Ted and Fred just exchange a look like, what the fuck? Like, as for the birthday party last week, like, both of them were ready to call the cops on me because they were just like, this, even by your standards, this is a step too far. As you know, we are part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, and there are loads of deadly podcasts on that network for you guys to tune into. And this is one that we think you might like if you want to check it out this week.
I'm Connor Reed with words to that effect. How do the Victorians invent time? Where do all those pirate clichés come from? Should we all read romance novels?
His mouth glided up her neck with feather-like...
Why are kids so obsessed with dinosaurs? What makes the perfect detective story?
We just have to go and solve this crime ourselves.
What happens to culture and society in a post-apocalyptic world where everything... ...has stopped? Words to that effect tells stories of the fiction that shapes popular culture. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts and at WTTEpodcast.com.
Here, I'm sending you a pic of Fred in his car seat. And no, I don't mean Ted. I actually mean Fred. It is Fred in the car seat. Isn't he just the image of him?
Well, to be honest, that's in that picture, that's the most I've ever seen him look like you.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Well, you see, the scary thing is I've only noticed that myself and Fred look like brother and sister since we've had the baby. Like, when people say, look at them with the red, like, we do look like siblings.
That's what I was kind of trying to tell you there, yeah.
Did you hear that story how I sent my dad a picture of Ted and didn't realise that my nipple, like, not, like, a little bit, like, I sent you the ridge.
Yeah.
I mean, how much, like, that was like my nipple and a little bit of Ted. Like, it was the whole fucking nipple. And plus the fact, because Ted is suckling, so my teeth, like, you could plait them at this stage. They're just so long. It was so embarrassing. Well, I know how Janet Jackson feels now is all I'm saying. Like accidental nipple slip cost her so much. Well, sing it, sister. I feels you. Do you know actually who else is on the I'm a Celeb? Vernon Kay is on. I'd say he's actually getting paid an insane amount. He's getting 250,000 to appear in I'm a Celeb.
What?
Yeah, he's the highest paid of the lot. 250.
See, the thing I don't understand about this, about these amounts of monies that people get, I'm like, do they just get a flat fee regardless of how long they're in it? Or do they get like a fee for signing up? And then it's like kind of they get a little, like they get a little bonus for each week they stay in. Like, how does it work? Or does it matter how long you stay in? Is that just like, that's how much you're getting? Fuck off.
I don't know. Is it a flat fee? I mean, I would think if it's somebody that they really want to keep for the long run, that they would offer them some little perk. Because, you know, it's probably fairly easy to get kicked out of I'm a Celeb if you're basically just a moaning fuck and like don't get involved, you're going to be kicked out. But if there must be some incentive for some of them to stay in, surely. I mean, I guess maybe for the lesser people, they wouldn't operate that way, but there are certain heads now, I'd imagine, they want to keep them in for as long as possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not buying that they're all staying in, you know, as long as they have to because they just want to challenge themselves.
I'd say Vernon could maybe win it this year.
Yeah, I wonder how far into it now will he bring up the old sex
thing. I know.
But you have to bring it up.
That was, well, I mean, of course, I'd imagine that's why apparently they've been asking him for years and he said no. And I'd imagine that's why he has been saying no, because obviously it's inevitable they're going to bring this up. But like, because I felt bad, you know, people are just, when I say people are so cruel, I get that it's an obvious thing that people are going to talk about. But when she put up on his Instagram account saying, you know, myself and the girls are so excited for Vernon and blah 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 and can't wait to watch him, and everyone started joking about the fact that obviously she had control of his Instagram account for the period that he was in I'm a Celebrity, and they were like, Jesus, how long did it take him to clear out the DMs? But to be fair, like, that was a long time ago.
Well,
you know, I would say personally, you know, I know people say, oh, like, you know, if they do that once, they'll do it again.
This is, you're coming from celebrity couple points, like, point of view now.
Celebrity couple. Can we just give
you and Fred a vote in the public eye? You see, you're looking at this very differently.
No, which, okay, well, first of all, on the point of celebrity couple, we did say before we started the podcast, we were talking about how deadly the WhatsApp group is, and we both said, Janice, shout out to Janice, myself and Emma, our lives were made when Janice, who's our resident Canadian listener, she thought that we were celebrities, didn't she, Emma?
She did, yeah. That was a good day.
It was a good day for both of us. No, but I don't know. I do. Of course, people are going to make the joke about the DM.
I mean, Jesus.
Like, it was ages ago. Do you remember that was the exact same time? I'm going to look up the date here. Must be 10. But do you remember it was when, I'll never forget, do you remember she was on The Late Late promoting the parenting book? And Ryan had to ask her about the sexting. And I just, obviously the tour had been booked in. She was doing all the promo, all the appearances. Mm-hmm. And it was the same week with this sexting scandal. And I really felt for her because of all weeks. So you're telling the world, okay, this is how to be a better family. And all this shit is at the fan the same week. It was just such cringeworthy viewing. I really cringed.
I think it was just because the type of shows that they both presented, the
family friendly,
family friendly, both in the public eye, was why. You see, because I suppose your one, what was her name again?
Was it Rhianne Sugden?
Yeah, because she was good, kind of tabloid material herself, and she kind of has her own career now. There was just all those elements in it, like, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like sexting, but it just, there were so many boxes ticked with that story that it just kind of kept going, really, because people didn't really know a lot about their private life, and they just knew that there was these two people who were in the public eye were married, were, you know, were they both ex-models? You kind of...
Oh, I'd say you know, so. They're kind of gorgeous.
They kind of gave that impression of, like, you know, picture-perfect life or whatever. So I think it was just unfortunate for them that there was, you know...
Well, I guess the moral of the story, though, is I suppose, like, if you're writing a book about parenting or whatever it might be, like, you have to be very careful when you kind of set the bar quite high for yourself and your relationship and your family, because ultimately there can be no skeletons in your closet if you're going to write a book about parenting or relationships or whatever it might be. Because I think when you set the bar quite high for yourself, people, you know, I guess I suppose it's just ultimately putting pressure on your own relationship, and people kind of revel a bit in seeing the cracks in these type of relationships when people have placed themselves maybe on a bit of a, I don't want to say a bit of a high ground, but like if you put yourself out there, I think people are particularly vindictive and people take particular pressure in just picking it apart.
Yeah. Ah, well.
Ah, well, I'd say Vernon for a minute. Years ago,
yeah.
Oh, I think so. I think it could be. I mean, look, to be honest, I don't know a lot of them. I went through them, obviously recognised Liz. There was another girl from Carrie, I think, in it as well, but I haven't watched Carrie for a while. Vernon, Danny Dyer, of course, is going to be in it, aka Shane Ritchie. And yeah. I mean, I don't know. Other than that, there's no one really that I'm that familiar with. You know, there's always like a random Radio 1 DJ that we've no clue who they are.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm sure they're huge in England. And yeah.
Sure, we'll dip in and out, I'm sure.
Will you watch it?
No.
Will you not?
No, I just, I think like once you kind of, I know, like, I mean, like, I will, I'll dip in and out, you know what I mean? I might start watching them, but I'm at the stage now where I find it really, I'm just totally out of the loop of like defo committing to something at the same time every night.
I know.
And I have like one show at the moment, like we'll always watch, like we'll watch Bake Off on a Tuesday together, all of us, and we'll watch Gogglebox on a Friday together. And that's kind of like enough. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, as a commit. And I'm a Celebrity is a big commitment. That's the thing with I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah, and it's just... like I do enjoy it, and I spent years watching it, but you know, just like, oh great, like they're eating a fucking kangaroo's dick again, you know, like,
well yeah, I think you see what? You know, it's what?
Horrible. What else can you get them to eat? And it's all, and it gets very
repetitive. Did you see Eamon and Ruth are gone from this morning? I thought yes. That was very big news.
It was actually very big news. So is Alison going to do it with Rylan?
But she's doing it with Dermot O'Leary, who I love. I mean, love Alison and love Dermot. Well, I think that's a great pairing.
Yeah, that is very strong. Because like, well,
very strong.
Alison has great chemistry.
Comic timing.
With everyone. Yes. But I think, yeah, to put her beside a pro like Dermot, that'd be really good. Like, I might even whack that on myself when I'm at home.
Well, I mean, I think Alison's great, and I just think Dermot is great as well. So to be honest, when I heard, I mean, you know, like Eamon and Ruth, it was a bit of a shock when I heard they were gone. But then when I heard they were being replaced by Alison and Dermot, it is that kind of thing of you haven't watched something for a while, and that will make me tune in now just to see what they're up to, which is ultimately the whole point of mixing it up, that yeah. The likes of you and me are going to dip back into it.
Well, I do every I'd say every couple of months I'll watch Alison's interview with Harrison Ford. And even like a few times I've been here with Tommy and he'll see me watching something. And I've watched with Tommy, like, you know, on YouTube, Alison's best bits. And me and Tommy are about laughing at it. Like, she
Tommy's got energy. A very elevated sense of humor.
He does. But you know what I mean? She just has that likability. She just has that energy. It's just, you feel better when you see her.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just want, it's hard to watch Alison and have a cry and slide down a wall at the same time, which I think is the ultimate compliment she can make. Do you remember when she was on This Morning and she pushed someone into the river? Do you remember that moment?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's just...
So she was on, do you remember she was on the, you know, obviously doing the weather and she's jumping like the little floaty thing from England to Northern Ireland.
I know.
And then this guy... was helping her and then she pushed him into the water.
I know.
And she was like, oh my gosh, you all right? Oh my god, get help.
And a lot of people on TV now, on like breakfast TV and whatever, they try to fake those moments of hilarity or, you know, corpsing or whatever. And I mean, come on, even Holly and Phil are hamming some of that up. But I genuinely believe with Alison, 90% of that is 100% real. Like 90% of those fuck ups are 100% her fucking up. Like,
oh no. And you know, it's her tenacity as well. Like, even, do you remember when Harry and Meghan got engaged? And she, what I love about Alison is she does give it socks, doesn't she? Like, she's running. Like, she is running with the mic. Like, she is getting a word in with Meghan. Like, she does not give a fuck. And she, like, thrust the mic into Meghan's face. She's like, Megs! Megs! And Meghan's like, it's an honor to be here. Or something. It's an honor. Thank you so much. So happy. And she's like, Megs! Like, see? Elbowing people about Megs!
Again, shouting people's names is the way to success.
Honestly. Jim! Do you know who kind of reminds me of Alison Hammond, just with her energy, is Laura. Laura O'Mahony is a bit of an Alison Hammond, isn't she?
She is. She actually totally is.
I keep watching True Crime before bed. And then, you know, you're in the bed and you're just like, Fred, what was that noise? And then you're turning to your other side and I get a heart attack every time I see there's a baby beside me. I'm like, it's mine. You know, it's just like I'm a nervous wreck going to sleep every night.
Fuck, did I ever, I'm sure I told you about the time I'd had Ella, and Ella was here and she was quite small and I woke up. Now, it wasn't in the middle of the night, but say, like, I'd gone to bed early, but I woke up in a panic. And I was doing, like, a lot of sleepwalking, a lot of just crazy, like, a lot of crazy behavior. But I went into, like, the bedrooms, whacking on the lights, looking for her. Like, she is just fast asleep in her cot, not a problem. Because I woke up from a dream that I was washing... I was washing stuff and I was putting it on the drainer and I was washing Ella, but Ella was like the size of a pea. And then,
oh my gosh, what is a terrifying dream, Emma.
Yeah, and then I wasn't paying attention and then I was afraid that she'd gone down the drain. So I woke up in a panic and I went around the house smashing on lights going, where's Ella? And I've done a lot of sleepwalking over the years, but like I look like I'm awake. Like my eyes are open.
Oh my god, that is the scariest sleepwalker.
I went up to,
oh my god, you see the creeps.
A couple of years ago, I went up to Ella in the attic. Like, I can't get up that fucking attic at the best of times. I went up in my sleep and
up the styra.
Well, it's not a stair, but it's the stairs, like the steps are open Do you know that kind of way? So you really feel like, not that it's any less safe than any other stairs, but you really feel like you need to hang on to the banister when you're going up this set of stairs. But I stormed up the stairs. I'm told that I smashed her bedroom door open and turned on the light. And it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I think I was shouting something about like telling her to get up for school. She was going to be late.
Imagine how terrifying that is. That's like the time I woke up to my mother blow drying my hair as I slept, because she kept telling me do not go to bed with wet hair. And then one night I woke up, I was in college, and Mom was standing over me in the dark. I was in my box room, and she turned on the hair dryer, and I was like, Jesus, because obviously, you know, if you wake up and somebody's pointing a hair dryer in your face, what do you think it is? What, like, you're not fully conscious. A gun. It's like, what are you doing?
Oh, fuck's sake.
But I have to say, my mother's standing, if I lived in an attic, and my mother had clambered up the equivalent of a tier of stairs, her eyes wide open, slamming the door, telling me to get up for school. I think that's even scarier.
Or something you about we need to get out of the house now. Or something panicked anyway. Or I shouted
something rational.
I shouted some gibberish at her. But this is the problem. I'm totally relaxed, jay cool, all the rest of it. But obviously I'm just leaving all my anxieties for night, so they're just coming out.
I was gonna say, this makes me feel better. So you're not a robot. It just comes out when you're asleep. You would definitely be the type as well, if you ever killed someone, you would definitely pull the I was sleepwalking card.
Oh, totally, yeah.
That's such a legally grey area.
Yeah.
It's like, were you really sleepwalking when you drove up to the wicket? Yeah, no, I was. I was definitely still asleep.
I grind.
And when I stopped for a McDonald's, breakfast on the way back, I was still sleepwalking. So you know.
Yeah, no, that's me. I grind my teeth, the whole shebang. But I'm more prone to sleepwalking when I'm extremely tired or when I've had a few drinks.
That's gas. I never knew you were a sleepwalker. I used to sleepwalk as a child, but I think I haven't sleepwalked now for a long, long time. That's so interesting. And I'm a wreck.
I think my brothers used to do it a lot. And there was one of them who used to go out to the toilet in the middle of the night. And then one night, I think he got it wrong and he pissed over the stairs onto my dad's head.
Oh, my God. Do you know what?
There's just got always it wrong one night.
I think, you know, I've heard it happen so many times with men when they sleepwalk that they end up pissing into a drawer or something like that. Like, what is it with the drawers? They always end up pissing into a drawer.
I don't know, but I don't even understand it, because if I am in the bedroom when it's dark and say Shane's asleep and I need to see what I'm doing, but I don't want to wake him up, I get my phone and I put like the torch on, or even just like, you know, tap it so I have some sort of light. I don't like walking around rooms in the dark, but then when I'm asleep, I'm just like smashing around the gaff for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's weird. And you're such a tiny little person. Like, I'm just imagining you slamming around in your docks. It's just so strange.
It is very strange. I know, I haven't done it, and I haven't done it in a good while, but
I just happened upon, when I was looking up some info there on this morning, do you love these stories as well? I just love these stories about the pit bulls that attack the owners. So the owner's here now, she's an older lady, and the dog didn't see it coming, and you're like, but it was a pit bull, come on. Because at the moment as well, I'm really enjoying, obviously, Real Housewives, big fan. But Kim, who was actually Paris Hilton's auntie, so she's just got out of rehab, just to paint a very swift picture for you. So she's just got out of rehab and she has decided now is the time to get a nose job.
Oh, nice.
So, I mean, clearly the nose should be the least of her concerns if she's just after getting out of rehab. But she decides, you know what, You know what's been going wrong for me all these years? Not the fact that I'm codependent with my own children, not the fact that I have an alcohol problem. It's the nose. Like, once I fix the nose, I'm good to go.
She
gets the nose fixed, and then this other sister, Kyle, comes to visit her, and she has a dog on the bed. So Kyle's like, oh my God, you got a dog. And the dog is a pit bull. So the pit bull's name is Kingsley. And the sister Kyle's like, oh, well, you know, like, they have a lot of energy. Like, you're going to have to exercise him, but I think you will. And you're like, oh. So then next thing, Kim is supposed to come to a boozy afternoon tea. So she calls and says to the group, I can't come because I got hit in the face. So everyone's like, oh my God, she's been attacked. So it turns out the dog jumped up and broke her nose. So then in the next episode, the dog trainer, this is the one I'm on, the dog trainer has just arrived. So funny. So the dog trainer arrives and he's all like casual. He's at the door and Kim's like on a conversation in the hall. So she's talking to her daughter and she's like, I love you, sweetie. I love you so much. I love you so, God bless you. And the dog trainer's outside and he's like, Kim. And she's like, sorry, I'm just talking to my daughter. I love you so much, honey. Oh, you're a blessing. I love you. So this is going on and on, and the dog trainer is outside. So then Kim opens the door and Kingsley's beside her. She's like, Kingsley, stop. Kingsley. So she's kind of like kicking him. You know, the leg is a barrier to the door to stop the dog going outside. Kingsley, no. So then the dog trainer comes in. He's like, oh, you didn't get time to put a leash on him. So straight away, this is getting off to a bad start, isn't it, Emma? They go to the sitting room.
Yeah.
They go to the sitting room, and this is where I stop watching. So they go to the sitting room. Such a classic moment. I rewound it like about 20 times. It's so funny. So they go into the open plan living area. And so Kim's like saying, so this is Kingsley. And next thing, Kingsley attacks. So the dog trainer like kicks the dog, like proper now kicks the dog in the face. And is like, get off, down, resist. Like, you know, all these like real military, like American military terms. Resist, you will resist. And all this kind of stuff. And then, so the dog anyway eventually sits, and Kim is standing there with the leash and her nose, which has like just been freshly done, and she's like, I'm scared. It's just so funny. It's like, Kim, why did you think a pit bull was going to make you stay sober? But anyway, that's as far as we got. I'll let you know if there's any more developments of Kingsley. But you just know she wants to give that dog back. Like, she's just standing there quivering, dare I say. And you just know she's like, please, can I send this dog back to the pound?
It sounds like,
but
she
how
was...
do I do this? Because I'm in a reality show.
It sounds like she was scared for her nose. Like, that was kind of...
Well, I mean, you don't want it to get broke a second time.
Oh God, you just fucking forget about the nose then.
But it's just so funny when she's like, God, I'm scared. And it's like, well, that dog is sleeping on your bed.
Jesus Christ.
But anyway, look. So look, more Pitbull action on the Daily Mail. If you want to check it out, we'll be dipping in and out of I'm a Celeb. Fair City, please get in touch, or any soap. To be fair, we're not fussy.
No.
We've workshopped the plot lines. You've very little to do. All you have to do is cast us.
That's it, really.
I mean, we've done the work for you.
I mean, what more do people want? We're not gonna type up the scripts, but we'll send you like an audio.
Yeah,
you can put that into Google and get it typed up, can't you?
Oh, I think that's a thing now, actually, is transcribing audios, which I think is a bit dangerous. I don't really want somebody to be able to take my audio, put it into Google and see it there in print. There's something about talking about sending your dad a nipple picture, but actually seeing it in print, it just feels like a different thing.
Yeah, I don't think you want the words my nipple and my dad that closely.
Never together. Always far apart. Now, Emma, speaking of far apart, we're far apart, but I always feel like you're so close to me. And now we're going to end this podcast.
We are. We're going to end it now. It's over now.
It's over.
Yeah. Many thanks to the patrons.
We love the patrons. Thank you so much for making our dreams come true. We really, really appreciate it.
We do. We really do.
We love you so much. And look, if you can't, you know, if you can't stretch to the €5, that's no problem. Maybe you could throw us an old rate and review. And you know, one thing we haven't asked people to do for a while, if you want to review us on iTunes, you can, which is great, really helps. But if you want to recommend us to a friend, even better.
That's true.
So you could do that, but also we do like the money.
Do something
with your life is what we're saying. We love you so much. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Julie J.
I've been Tracy Berlin. God bless.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.